This is Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, Episode 9 for Wednesday, March 13th, 2019. Hello from Lincoln Public Schools. I'm Brian Fitzgerald.
And I'm Mindy Burback. Welcome to Stories from Lincoln Public Schools. It's our podcast that gives you an inside look at the people, activities, and programs that make Lincoln Public Schools the wonderful place it is. In today's episode, we'll hear about how a Mickle Library Media Specialist developed a way to reinforce the lessons that students learn in their classes.
But first, let's take a look at some of the headlines that are currently on the LPS website. Number one, Thank You Teacher was supposed to be last week, and we had a little bit of a surprise weather event, didn't we?
It was a sad day. I think it was the first time in 20 years this event had been canceled due to weather, and I know that when I got the phone call, I was really sad because I knew that meant that the Thank You Teacher breakfast at the Governor's Mansion was going to be canceled.
It was such a shock. None of us going to bed the night before thought that things were going to get called off that morning, but lo and behold, there was snow on the ground.
Lots of snow. Even Dr. Joel was surprised when he woke up that morning and saw the snow on the ground.
So we didn't want to do nothing that day. So we took the letters and we took the information that was going to get shared that morning. And it's all up on a website that's linked from the front page. And then also we're going to have coming up a live stream on April 2nd that's going to be to celebrate those winners. And those winners are going to be Steph Emery. She's an early childhood teacher at Rousseau Elementary. Artis Kane, a third grade teacher at Meadow Lane Elementary. Valerie Bergo, counselor at Irving Middle School. Julie Kruger, she's an English teacher at Southeast High School. And Kathy Wortman, a retired teacher from Riley Elementary. So there's going to be a small event at the district office to let the students read the letters to the teachers and do all the things that we would normally do for that Thank You Teacher morning. But because it's going to be here at LPS, we get the opportunity to live stream it, which we don't usually get to do.
And it'll be a great way to share some of that magic, some of that emotion from when those people who nominated the teachers read their letters to the teachers. It won't quite be that first time they hear it, but it's still that emotion of hearing it in their voice.
So take a look at the letters now and watch out for that live stream on April 2nd. And then also it is school breakfast week, or last week was school breakfast week. And so we had a few schools that were doing some things to promote breakfast. And, you know, they always say most important meal of the day. And some students have a tougher time getting that just because of morning routines, everybody rushing out the door. Or maybe they're just in a household where breakfast is a difficult thing to get. And so we have a lot of schools. In fact, maybe it's all schools. I don't actually know that.
I think it is all schools.
All schools have breakfast that students can get. And so if you check out School Breakfast Week on the front page of our site, there's photos of things that schools were doing. One of the stats here that they had is that Everett Elementary feeds more than 300 students in 20 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like how they call that meals per hour.
Meals per hour. There is, if you go to our nutrition services page, we have a meal statistics page, and there's a fun little speedometer there. Some of the stats that you can find there, every day we serve 31,000 cartons of milk.
It's a lot of milk.
In a year, we serve 4,700,000 lunches. And so they say that we do about 500 meals per hour.
MPH, meals per hour
on a normal day.
So. And we have such a great nutrition services staff that work at every school, and they really become embedded in our schools. And the staff there care about the students, and they get to know the kids every day. They see them every day, whether it's for breakfast or lunch or both. And so I think it's great that we're able to celebrate the school breakfast program in our schools.
So check that out, too, on our front page. Mindy, what's going on this week?
Well, it is spring break, so we don't have LPS students in session, but that doesn't mean students aren't working, preparing for their upcoming concerts and things that are coming up. We do kick off the fourth quarter next week, and this is when we start seeing an increase in end-of-the-year concerts and performances, whether it be theater or music. Next Tuesday, we do have our next learning lunch titled 25 Years of Student-Built Houses. Bob Fries at the Northeast High School has been building houses with his construction students to benefit families through the Habitat for Humanity, and they've been doing it for 25 years. I went last year to their ribbon-cutting ceremony for their last house. It was amazing to see the work and dedication that the kids put into those houses. And this is quality construction. They're working side by side with industry professionals to build these homes for a family, to benefit a family through Habitat Humanity. So Bob Fries will be on here at the district office talking about that at our learning lunch. You're invited to come. It's open to the public. Bring your lunch. Enjoy a 30-minute presentation from Bob. We will provide yummy desserts here for folks if they decide to join us. But if you can't make it here to the district office, you're able to watch it live on our website and our Facebook page. We provide that for you.
Can't wait to see that presentation.
It's always so interesting to see. And you can also check out our arts calendar on our website for upcoming events. We have a lot of arts events coming up. For athletics this week, the weather has been challenging. Probably the longest winter we've had in a long time.
We're in that week where spring and winter are like fighting, and spring's going
to
win.
To see who controls. Well, we hope spring wins eventually. So it's canceled and postponed a lot of athletic contests because the spring season was supposed to kick off this weekend. You can keep an eye on the heartlandathleticconference.org. That's the website where our teams update their information concerning events. You can also find it on our LPS website and click on the athletics link. There are some intra-city matchups though. On Friday at 5 p.m., we've got boys soccer and girls soccer. We've got Northeast versus East. They're playing at Beechner and Seacrest. Boys soccer, Northeast versus East at Beechner. Girls soccer, Northeast versus East at Seacrest. And then Monday at 5 o'clock, we have East boys soccer playing Southwest boys soccer at Seacrest Field. Tuesday, we've got several matchups. We've got baseball, finally baseball.
Hey, baseball.
East versus Southeast at Sherman Field. And then we've got girls soccer on Tuesday at 5 p.m. We've got North Star versus East at Seacrest. And then girls soccer, we have Southwest versus Lincoln High at Beechner. That's Tuesday at 5. Again, you can find all of these contests on our website by clicking on the athletics tab.
All right. So we're going to get back to the main part of today's story. Caitlin Lucan, she's part of our communications team here at Lincoln Public Schools, working on her stellar graphics team along with Chris Warner and Sam Steffen. She sat down last week with Mickle Middle School Library Media Specialist Meredith Fickus to learn more about the breakout boxes that she created to assist teachers in assessing whether students were connecting to the lessons they taught. Here it is.
Can you introduce yourself?
I'm Meredith Fickus, and I'm the librarian at Mickle Middle School.
Wonderful. How long have you been in the position?
I've been at Mickle. This is my 7th year, but I've been in the library for 10.
Where were you before Mickle?
I was at Everett Elementary for 3 years. I like the age of the kids. I loved the elementary kiddos, loved getting hugs every day, but in the middle school, I could start to do a little bit more with them, with activities in the library, start to really help them develop and go on projects a lot more.
So we're actually here today because we hear that you have one specific activity that has been really popular. Can you explain it to me, kind of talk me through it?
So I've really started implementing breakout boxes.
Breakout boxes. That sounds very promising.
Yeah, so they're a lot like the escape rooms that a lot of people here in Lincoln do.
Sure.
Only I don't lock all the kids in a room.
That's frowned upon.
Yeah, so instead what I do is I have a box and I put about 4 to 5 locks on it. And there are different locks, like there's a key lock, a 4-digit, a 3-digit, a word, a directional lock. And then I give them puzzles based off of whatever curricular area I'm working with. So today I'm going to do I'm working with our 6th grade math teacher, and we're going to do a coding breakout.
So our story, our code, the code that lets us access the internet and communicate with our friends, listen to music, and watch videos has been messed with. Someone has played a trick and added a Jenga code. If we remove the Jenga code, our entire program will collapse, which means no internet for who knows how long. We need to carefully fix our code to save our internet access, keep it from collapsing, and break out.
So all the puzzles deal with coding, and a lot of the times the kids will like do the puzzle and then they're like, look, I did it. But then they have to figure out then how that translates into like a 4-digit number or a word lock. And then once they get all the locks off, they consider it to be broken out.
We got this, guys. We can do this.
Go!
Open this up.
Let's connect them.
That That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah.
How did you come up with this idea?
So I did not come up with it. In the spring, I'm on a bunch of different groups, library groups, and somebody had just briefly mentioned this breakout from Breakout EDU. And so I started looking at it and I thought it looked really cool. And I went to my eighth grade social studies teachers, because they pretty much will go on any crazy journey with me, and said, hey, let's do this. And so we did our breakout and we learned so much from it about what not to do. But we just saw engagement from students that we hadn't seen engagement from all year. Mm-hmm. And so we really just all of a sudden just started seeing all the benefits from it. And so we're like, okay, we have to change some things, but this is really good and this is where it's at. And so they ended up doing two with me that first year, that spring semester. And then I did one with our staff right at the beginning of the year. And from there, then teachers were like, hey, can you make one for me? Can you make one for me? And so now it's, I started last year, my goal was to do one a month, and it moved to, I think I did like 30. And now I probably do about
30 in the year?
Yeah. Now I do probably about 5 to 6 a month.
Oh, wow.
What
so
I do.
They've jumped
on the board with it.
He should jump this way.
Tell that.
Break out.
And I go one.
7 And then that's one repeat. Breakouts yeah. every day.
Okay, tell that to Miss Fickus.
He should do breakouts every day.
How do you go about making a puzzle box?
So what I do is most of the time the teachers like to use it as a review for their curriculum. And so a lot of the times I'll get like their assessment, their final assessment they do, or what notes they do throughout. And then I just kind of sit there and I ask them, okay, what are the big main points you want to look at? And then from there, I look at a lot of different puzzles. So I probably, before I wrote my first one, looked at like probably 50 different games and got puzzle ideas from them. Uh-huh. And so then as I'm going through, it's like, okay, so I just did one where I had a word search, and so they did the levels of organization within the cell. And so when they found the word, like cell, tissue, organ, whatever direction they found the word then became their arrow for their direction lock.
Oh, and cool.
So, I mean, yeah. It's just kind of, I like think about, okay, what things do I want to, what things do the kids already have in place that I can then build off of that to... Like, there's ones where I do a Venn diagram, and the number of words in each spot of the Venn diagram is their 3-digit code. And
yeah.
So they have to know the curriculum in order to get it, but then there's also that have to figure out the puzzle aspect.
And so,
and this connects to all of these. This is, like, start.
Yeah.
Forward. Here we go.
And
this is the Morse code.
Okay.
How do you kind of playtest them or make sure that they're level appropriate? Have you created any puzzles that were like accidentally stumpers or ones that were way easier than you thought they were
yes,
going to be?
Yes, on both. so I basically tell the first group when they come, I'm like, okay, you guys are my guinea pigs. I've never done this one before.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're really easy. Like I had one where they broke out in 10 minutes and I was like, oh, well. That went a little bit easier, and so then I just, you know, have to work on tailoring it. If it's too hard, I tend to be more, because I always give them 2 hint cards to use wherever they feel and whatever puzzle they feel like. But as I'm walking around and I notice, like, every group is struggling with the same thing or really not getting it, I tend to give, like, a global hint. Or if there's a group that's really struggling, I may, like, shift a paper towards them that they may need, or like kind of say something slyly as I walk by and then keep going. And so I tend to like kind of judge it based off of how it's going and as I'm walking around monitoring them and stuff like that. I like the struggle, so I let them struggle because I feel like the struggle is good and I want them to have that struggle a little bit, but at the same point, I don't want them to struggle too much where they give up.
Yeah.
And so it's walking that fine line balance of, okay, I think they're getting to the point where they're about ready to just give up. So I'm going to slip them this little hint to try to keep them on track.
Yeah. Have you noticed any patterns in how kids like work together during these activities, or kind of like how they problem solve?
Yeah. So it's kind of funny because you always hear at the beginning when the teachers put them in their groups, I don't want to work with that person. I don't want to work. I'm not. And by the end, they're like all in it and working on it. And so, I mean, it's interesting to see that dynamic. And it is also sometimes you'll see, like, because there will be four or five puzzles, sometimes the group decides, you know what, the best way to do this is you take that paper, I'm going to take this one, and they just work on their own. And it works for some groups, but then you see some where it's like everybody is working on the same puzzle. And so I just kind of, I let them go with that, you know, and we've never really had like major issues with the group work. They all like tend to then it's never one person taking over and doing everything for the group while four people sit back. I've never seen that dynamic. It's always been something where they are working together. And a lot of times it's one kid really helping another kid out and helping them like figure it out and see the puzzle and see the helping them solve it. So.
What order do these go in? Question. But right. Oh yes.
Maybe it's 1, 6, 7, 8.
It's 1, 6, 8, 7. I'm pretty sure.
Do you have any puzzles that you've created that stick out in your mind as being your favorite, or just ones that you were particularly proud of?
I have one. We'll be doing it fourth quarter. It'll actually be my third year doing it. With my eighth grade social studies, they study the Civil War and the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And so I created a breakout on John Wilkes Booth's escape route.
Oh, cool.
And so he had like, I want to say 8 stops along his route. And so there's like 8 different puzzles for the kids. And at each puzzle, when they either got the code and opened the box or they came and told me part of the code, I gave them a picture of his hideout. And then they have to put all the hideouts in order to get the final lock and box of knowing the order of the hideouts. So that's probably one of my favorites just because of how intensive it is. Yeah, there's like 9 different puzzles. And I joke with my social studies teachers. I was like, you know, if this hadn't been the second breakout I ever made, I probably wouldn't have been involved because now I only really have time to write 5 puzzles. But
right.
there, I mean, it was only, I had the time, and so I wrote
It's your puzzle magnum opus.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, I really want to do one of these puzzle boxes. Yeah. They sound so cool. So in general, like, how do students react to them?
They enjoy them. I think overall, the majority of them really enjoy it. It started to get to the point where they come down to the library for maybe another lesson. They're like, oh, cool, breakout. And I'm like, no, not today. And then they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, you gotta listen to me.
Not every day can be a puzzle
box. Somebody else. So yeah, they get excited when they see the breakouts, or if they see me like setting them up, they're like, oh, who's that for? Who's doing it? And I'm like, oh, it'll be like 6th grade. But, oh, no, you know, yeah. So they enjoy it and they get into it and they have fun when it's time for the breakouts. So
yeah. What do you think the benefit is, or the like greatest takeaway for the kids of kind of doing lessons in this style?
I think it's the engagement. Like they really... It's the same material they've been working with for a while, but it's a new way of thinking of it and doing it.
Yeah.
That, you know, they can sit and do a math problem in class and it's boring for them, but when they have to sit and do the math problem to get the code, it's a whole different, like,
right.
aspect for them. And so it's just that engagement and, you know, they get to be a little bit more social because they can chat with the people in their group while they're working or breaking out, you know, so they have the little social, especially middle schoolers love the social time. So they get a little bit of that while they're trying to break out and stuff. And it's just the, you know, at first I think they were always, cause I only put a piece of paper in the box. Like there's no like, oh, here's some food or here's this, you know, there's no like tangible reward for them. I do take their picture, and I have a breakout hall of fame that I put all their pictures on.
Oh, so cool.
But I think it's just, I think they start to get that internal hey, look, I did it. Like, I have kids who are like, hey, I've broken out of every single one. Or after, like, their fifth breakout, they're like, this is the first one I've broken out of, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think they get that, like, internal good feeling and the motivation. Just like, you know, when they play their video games and it's like, oh, look, you got a badge, you know? It's,
yeah.
I think it kind of feels like that for them, which I think helps them.
I'm Evelyn.
I'm Ayla.
I'm Morgan.
Okay, what grade are you guys in?
Sixth.
And what just happened?
We won the breakout.
We got all the four locks off the first.
What was your team?
We were dark blue.
And how did you guys win? How did you guys solve all the puzzles?
We worked as a team, and we kind of split into groups, and we each worked focused on a different lock in the groups.
I love the engagement it brings to the kids. Like I said, the very first time we did this, it was we had a student who we had been struggling all year with the engagement, and he normally put his head down all period and everything. And then that first day he was up, he was walking around the room trying to find the clues. His group was like the first one out, and he was like the leader of the group. And so we really start to see different, like, kids who normally are your ones who like speak up in class all the time aren't necessarily the ones who lead the group then. And so you start to see different dynamics in kids that you normally wouldn't. And you start to see, like, who the true leaders are and who really helps bring them out. And that's been kind of the fun to see. Or, like, kids were, you know, the one teacher would be like, oh, I bet that group's going to be the first one out. And it ends up being this group over here, you know, who just really dives in. And so it's just fun to see the way the kids interact with each other in the different roles they start to take on then.
Wow, that sounded like a lot of fun.
It was so fun to hear the teacher talking about how it goes together, and then the students interspersed in there so excited about it.
And trying to figure it out and hear, listen to them talk about it. And joining us now is Caitlin, who produced today's story. Welcome, Caitlin.
Thank you so much.
So, Caitlin, it sounded like it was a very energetic room. The kids were having a lot of fun. What did you see from the students?
I got to say, it really was a lot of fun. Attention to detail that Meredith Fickus puts into these boxes is incredible. Like, she has a big timer going on the screen and a very dramatic, like, cinematic score playing throughout, and the kids are so excited about it. It really is cool to walk around and see the different ways that they're working together, whether it's like kind of banding together to all work on a single puzzle or kind of passing them out and frantically shuffling papers back and forth. It's a blast.
So you said earlier that while we were talking that she had a lot of these built up in a library already.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So she started making them a few years ago. And in just her first year when they were still catching on, she said she created 30, and they've become only more popular since then. So she has a personal library of, I would say, like north of 50 or 60 that she's created, and she's been uploading them online so other educators can use them as well.
So has she been, you said she's sharing them. Has she been using other people's too? I mean, is it kind of a community online that's...
Yeah. So she said she got the original idea from this really cool program called breakout.edu, which kind of creates these things on... They're a little less curriculum focused than the one that Meredith creates. But yeah, there is a community. We talked about it a little off mic, and I think one of her hopes for this is that as she uploads them online, people create their own and submit them so other teachers can use them. She also talked about having kids start to write puzzles themselves, which I think is really exciting.
Another level to add that engagement and reinforce what they're learning.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know if she's working with other libraries here in the city to also do them?
You know, not to my knowledge yet. I know she works with individual teachers to kind of tailor the curriculum within the thing, but I don't know that it has caught on kind of locally like that yet.
All right. Well, I tell you what, that's all the time that we have for today. What a fantastic interview there with Meredith Fickus. Such fun. Next week, we'll see you right back here on Wednesday for another Stories from Lincoln Public Schools.